You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
And now they're talking, maybe they want to put him in the Preakness or the Belmont.
Wow.
So we'll see.
Wow.
So we were all, the crew were at watching it at the house, and if you were our neighbors, you would have heard people screaming like a bunch of maniacs because he came from behind. So very, very fun. What else do we got here? So Joanne will be here, and then Chris from Solidarity in the last half hour. Let's go through a quick rundown. Oh, I got the rundown in a sec. Matt, what did you do this weekend? You know, Jonathan Hoffman years ago said we shouldn't pass up on our weekends. What fun thing did you do?
Lots of fun things. We celebrated our 20th this weekend. So we went to Arizona Inn.
I saw the pictures.
We went to the mariachi thing downtown at Hockamy Plaza. We went to the Gem and Mineral Museum.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Did you go to the Mini Time Museum?
Not this time, no. But
everyone should do their anniversary there.
We've been there recently. Yeah. And We had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time. The Arizona Inn, it's like you're sitting there on the terrace on the little patio looking out. It looks like you're sitting in a painting.
That's true.
So beautiful.
Do they still have, is the croquette field still croquet?
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So it was a really good weekend.
How was the grub? Did you eat there?
Chris, I had beef bourguignon for the first time in many, many years. You never see it on any menu anywhere, and it was sublime.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was really good.
Well, now you've given me a new nickname, a new name for the new athletic director that I forgot to say in the old days.
That's your business.
the one with Bourguignon Jr. playing on the basketball team.
And his son only plays on teams where she's athletic director. Anyway.
Sorry.
It's awful. Anyway, it was... I mean, really good. And the main dining room's closing on the 19th through the summer. They'll be reopened in October.
But awesome.
It was an exceptional dining experience.
Was the Christmas tree still up?
No.
Okay.
No, it was not.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Aluminum pole was. So they celebrate Festivus year round there. But the Christmas tree was down.
All right. Well, I'm glad. Happy anniversary to you and
thanks,
Kelly.
Thanks, man. It was a great celebration, and we did all sorts of fun things. Like I said, we went and saw we happened to be downtown at the Gem and Mineral Museum, which is a great visit. It's really neat. And my goodness, the Heritage Center, they've got people out front. Welcome. You got any questions? You know, that kind of thing. Like the complex there at the courthouse is quite welcoming. They're like, come on over next door after you're done with the museum and check us out. And it was kind of a neat experience. And there were a bunch of LARPing people in Wizard of Oz kind of LARPing role play thing. And I said, what's with all the people dressed up like Dorothy and witches? And they said, well, it was something that went out over the internet. We don't know.
Oh, okay. Wasn't sure if it was a Pima County sponsored drag show.
Wizard of Oz flash mob. But I said, what's across the street? And they said, it's part of the mariachi conference.
Nice.
At Hockamy Plaza. They had a stage set up. The music was beautiful. So we went over there, ran into Patty, and saw some lovely mariachi music for about an hour or so before we were on our way.
Very
cool. It was a very successful event and a lot of good music, man.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of good music.
Like I said, when Sergio's wedding, I'm trying to which mariachi had play his wedding, and it was the one that what I liked about it was heavier on the strings than the horns,
mm-hmm.
and just over a 45-minute time period, just beautiful.
Yeah.
Just beautiful. So
they had a couple of, they had like three in a row from Cali. They had a San Diego, one from L.A., and one from, was it? Ocean. There were three in a row from Southern California, and anyway, we saw maybe four or five of them rotate through, and just talented kids. And it's kind of they had in between while they were in between they had some MCs, and she said she was the female MC said she was one of the Changuitos Feos, and when growing up, and she said it's amazing so many of the kids that were Changuitos growing up have gone on to lead youth mariachi groups in their adulthood, which is really kind of cool, keeping the tradition going forward.
Love it.
So it was a wonderful event, and cleared out of downtown before the Centurions, you know, blew it. 5,000 people came in to celebrate Centurions at TCC. So busy weekend down for the downtown folks, I think.
That's good. Actually, a breaking news story this weekend with U of A graduation,
yeah.
Businesses and hotels around the university will be busy. This is something that I only uncovered that.
Thanks.
Actually, I got a
coverage by the calendar on your phone going off and saying, do the story about crowded restaurants.
I received a government grant for my hard-nosed reporting on the effects of university graduations on businesses within a mile of the university.
Mr. Shoe Leather, that's what they call you.
So I'm going to call up Tim Steller and see how he spent his grant for all that hardcore border reporting he did. All right, 6:16 in the morning. When we come back, I'll talk about my weekend a little bit. I'll talk about my visit with the Northwest. I did my address to the troops on the at the Northwest Republican Association meeting, which was it's 2024, and what do you do about it now? What are you going to do about it now?
Being how do you solve a problem like Maria?
That's it's true too. All right, it's John and Jamie Davenport's playlist. One of our first couples list, I think. There's a Gloria and Teddy list coming up. Bill and Betsy finally came together. Putting that list together, that was like Carter and Brezhnev coming together and putting a list together. Took a while. Took a while for those two.
Which one's Brezhnev?
I'm not going to touch that. They're both patriots. Screw that commie Brezhnev. I apologize for the reference. 6:17 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 of the Voice, local news and talk. I didn't even know this existed.
Nor did I.
Cher covering ABBA. There it is. Thanks to John and Jamie for their playlist today. We still got a few more new ones in over the last week. So again, 18 songs to wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com, and we will play your tunes. So this weekend, of course, Kentucky Derby. Of course, you got to go to Home Depot, get some paint like Frank the Tank and Old School. You know, if I have enough time, I'd maybe get Bed Bath & Beyond, as we say. But I was one of the speakers at the Northwest Republican Association up at the Gaslight Theater on Oracle. Steve Spain talked. Jeff Utch was also there, one of the speakers. And I love the Utcher. He's the man. And he was talking about, he does a lot of training with the military. He trains Navy divers because he's a swim champ, that guy. And just talking about the effects of DEI on military recruiting and stuff that he hears as he's there kind of thing is interesting. And then, of course, talking about the assault on women's sports. He mentioned talked about the event that was at the student union about 10 days ago. And also talking about, or last week, I'll go through that. And then, again, the people who seem to want to crush women's sports seem to be women. That's the part that's so wild about this, is women want to crush women's sports. And then my discussion was similar to my discussions. I've done this for the Saddlebrook Republicans, Quail Creek Republicans, is you're a Republican in 2024. What do you do now? And so the take is, there's all of this drama over the Pima GOP. Who cares? That's my take. It doesn't matter. What is the Pima GOP? They're a club just like any other Republican club. And all of them all have similar goals, which is hopefully to get Republicans elected, right? That's what all their goals should be. Have a nice life. If the Pima GOP and whoever's running it doesn't do it for you, doesn't really do it for me, there's five other clubs that you can go work with to get Republican. Or do it yourself. Go find 10 people in your neighborhood and work it. That's better than you sitting on Facebook going, freedom, MAGA purity, and Rhino. But I got the Tucson Republican women. I got the Pima County Republican women. I got the Oro Valley Republican women. I have the Quail Creek Republicans. I got the Northwest Republicans. I mean, and even if you're a guy, the Tucson Republican women, if you want to help on a campaign, I'm sure they'll say, let's go. That's right. That's my take. I keep telling them, I'm done with the emotion. Right? Like I said, I when it comes to these things, I'm like Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino. I'm done. I'm just done with this over horse crap. I had a Republican where I basically said they were ignoring the Northwest Republican Association, which is in the middle of where this person is running for something. And they were going crazy on me saying, stop spreading the BS that I don't like the group. And I'm like, no, it's 100% accurate that you have an inaction towards a group in the middle of your area you're running. So please stop the emotions. This is not a Justine Wadsack cry fest. Okay. We're not doing that. So go find a place to plug in if you need a place to plug in. And if you don't like what the Pima GOP is doing, that's fine. And as David said, a Schweikert, give your money directly to campaigns and go find one or two campaigns and go work them. That's where you're at. And I'm still a believer in primaries, debates. Still to this day. So I'm sure there's people who says Juan shouldn't waste his time with the old patriot Kathleen Wynne there, right, who is very proud of being endorsed by someone who's never won a public seat in her life. Who also was a former Democrat 3 years ago, you know, big patriot there. You know, if you made the ballot, I've always said this, you should debate. That's it. Carrie Lake should debate Mark Lamb. When Lamb came on last week, everyone hit it. They just like, I got hit with emails and text messages. If this guy gets out there more, if you're someone who's even mildly thinks Carrie Lake, go hang out with Lamb and it's over. He talks authoritatively in a positive manner about what's going on, right? And doesn't say stupid crap like Carrie Lake. So I would, and the other thing, here's the thing, Sheriff Lamb is Carrie Lake's worst nightmare in a primary. Because you know why? She can't say he's weak on the border. She can't say he's a rhino, weak SOB. She can't say he's a McCainiac, right? All of her old tired tropes fall flat. As we like to say, like a gaseous emission in church, they go over. That's where we're at. So I want to see at least two debates between Lake and Sheriff Lamb. Let's roll. Let's do this thing. Also, save the date, May 30th, St. Philip's Plaza. We're going to do an event with Sheriff Lamb. St. Philip's Plaza, May 30th. Let's call it 5 o'clock, 5:30 right now. But block it out on your calendars. We're working on details. I just solidified candidate schedule and venue. So May 30th, St. Philip's Plaza. Let's get people out to support Mark Lamb because I, you know, unlike other people, I'd like to do something weird like win the actual seat. So again, I'm one of those nuts that's part of the win general elections. And again, that's why I'm telling you. That's why you got to vote Vince Leach in. I know there's a bunch of he's a rhino. Do you want to win the seat? I think Wadsack loses the seat to this John McClain guy. They're going to pound so much money in there. It's unbelievable. Let's go. After we come top, I'm going to finally do a rundown after all this jazz of, but it was good. You know, we talked about our weekends. Matt had an amazing anniversary weekend. I mean, now, Matt, you know what we should do one day? We should go, I'm sure it's closed for the summer, but we should go play croquet at least once. I just want to say, I've never played croquet at the Arizona Inn.
Okay.
So I want to wear the white pants you know, and look very.
And again, it's not like you're swinging for the, with the driver. You don't
what?
Get the, yeah, you don't get
there's
the
no croquet mallet called the killer whale or something like that. Yeah. Oh, look at this guy today. Look at this guy in his white shirt today. Looks like he's gonna be knocking on doors. It's Jim Bednarik, Hall of Famer, down over at the Groove right now.
Have you found a way, my son?
Hold on, he's. Oh yeah, thank you. A different gospel. All right, you're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 of the Voice, local news and talk.
I like this playing in the background while Matt and I are playing croquet at the Arizona Inn. Just chilling. Martinis and croquet.
There you go.
And then I want to take a 2-on-2, me and you versus Beef Bourguignon and Rockin' Robbins in a croquet match. See if we can.
Okay.
I know they already have the cool clothes and the mallet already, so.
Jodhpurs. You were Jodhpurs when you play croquet? I don't know. What's the official uniform?
I don't know. I just feels like I should be wearing white shorts and some sort of white shirt and some sort of, like, I feel like I'm dressing for cricket
poplin.
Almost.
I'm thinking poplin.
Poplin. Wow. Two things before we pretend to do a show. I did watch the Jerry Seinfeld Unfrosted movie on Netflix.
Yeah, I saw that.
This is about the fictional creation of the Pop-Tart and the fight between Post cereals and Kellogg's. It is ridiculous and fun.
My impression, too.
That's it. So if you want ridiculous and fun for 1 hour and 43 minutes, do it.
The award show in the category was best use of niacin. If that doesn't like sum it all up, I mean, it's
you got the award it, show.
Did you say unimportant and fun? Yeah,
no, ridiculous.
Oh, ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, it was escapist. It was a fun movie.
Then there's a funeral that has full cereal honors,
including the sliced banana.
You are.
I mean, it's.
And then, of course, Hugh Grant as Thurl Ravenscroft, the original Tony the Tiger, is just inspired casting in a Jerry Seinfeld movie. Now, Matt brought up a term in the first half hour. He said the term LARPing. So I want to make sure we know what LARPing is. LARPing is live action role playing. Now, the people who take this really seriously is there are LARPers that dress like they could be medieval characters, Star Wars. They could be kind of Dungeons and Dragons characters. And they actually will act out and have, quote, battles. And there's actually in a Jeff Goldblum show that he did on Nat Geo about games, he actually goes to a LARPing village where these people are doing. It's very geek and nerd. I'll just explain what LARPing means. Now, Matt sent me a great reference from Ben Shapiro, where Ben described, this is why the LARPing thing will come back one more time, the LARPing, he said that these Columbia and these students that are supporting Hamas literally are LARPing as Hamas terrorists, which I thought was pretty good.
Well, and I guess the obvious question that came to me over the weekend, are we still saying that cultural appropriation is bad? Because I thought we've gone through this multi-year, you know, exercise that can't do cultural appropriation. You know, Trader Joe's has a problem because they
Trader Jose's
their frozen enchiladas Trader Jose, and they called their frozen Chinese food Trader Ming, right? So that's a problem. That's problematic. As
Matt's
they were
nailing
saying,
this one.
Right? And so now, apparently, cultural appropriation is off the table. We can do that. It's all right, Chris.
You mean,
and it's so hard to keep up with this nonsense.
You mean rich white girls from the middle, from the Northeast that are studying media through a Marxian lens?
Going to Central America and learning how people cook food so you can open up a restaurant in San Diego and charge five times what they charge there. Bad. Bad. You know?
So the other one that's related.
Dressing up in cultural gear for Palestinians. Good. To harass Jews. That's good. Remember, that's good.
Remember when the Pelosi and those jackasses were wearing the African?
Again,
I forgot what it's called.
So just tell me, is cultural appropriation on or off? Because that's the tough thing to keep up with, Chris.
I think
it's really hard to keep up with this without a playbook.
And a scorecard is what we need. So 790-2040. Let's go to Kraut Rock Rock Complex. Pat Johnston, what's up, buddy?
Good morning, Chris. Listen, I thought maybe you were blocking me out of there because of the Kraut Rock and maybe stuff that you couldn't find on Spotify.
No. So you're paranoid like Nixon. We're good here.
So I think Pat's issue, I think the failure point with Pat's question might be moi, you know, because I think maybe I didn't forward something to you.
No, I do have it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. We got it.
And remember, we played Sean's list about 10 days ago, which was all deep tracks Rush. I mean, I only recognize like two songs off of that thing.
That was very good, actually. Hey, listen, I do have a question.
I mean, we played Fernando by Cher today. We're doing it all.
No, I mean, you guys are hot. There's no doubt about it. I wanted to know, you know, Chris Olsen, he's the chief of police now at the U of A. Is that right?
I don't know. Sure.
Well, okay. Well,
I only recognize people with French names over there now, so keep going.
Well, he was almost one of the chief of police over at Thor Valley Police Department.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so my question is, does he need permission from Robbins to perform any of his duties on the campus?
Well, you know, it's interesting. So they busted up their the little Palestinian pro-Hamas party, and the best part was, and I don't know if it was Cantoni was making fun of it, was all the professors and all these people coming out saying this was horrible, right? And you're like, that's all you need to know about the U of A, right? Spiritually is... You can do this pro Hamas, basically pro terror campaign, taking over the whole thing. And when they want to get rid of you and you're breaking the rules, we got a problem. So it's okay.
Yep. No, it's a standard operating procedure over there, I guess.
Kraut Rock is coming up soon, Pat. You're imminent. That's all I can tell you.
I'm with bated breath.
Me too. Me too. So,
right, so this this
way,
idea
guys,
that you launched,
job.
Chris.
I mean,
this was
stuff.
Just we'll do this in April for the 15th anniversary. It's got legs, baby.
We're going to be in the June before this is over. I think, Pat, what were you saying when Matt talks? I'm sorry, I missed you.
Well, I said that you guys are doing a good job with the playlist. It's very impressive. I still think you have to have either a top 10 or a best 5 of all the playlists eventually.
Wow, I should stop erasing them after I play them. So
yeah, exactly. No favorites now. You know what I mean? No favorites. Originality.
All right, my friend. Thanks for the call. Have a good week.
See you. Okay. You too, Doc.
790-2040 is the phone number. Now I'm going to do a rundown. Now, there is this week's Tucson Crime Free. As I told Joshua this morning, the Chicken King, they have more content in this newsletter this week than the last 5 Arizona Daily Star newspapers. That's how good this sucker is. It's got it all. Pima County needs a change. Jetty versus Conover. Do you feel safer today than you did 4 years ago when Conover was elected? We'll get to violent crime in Tucson is up. Underreporting is real. Edgar Soto for Pima County District 3. Their Tucson Crime Free is asking you to support Edgar Soto to replace Sharon Bronson's seat. And then they had the story about Grant Krueger on Fox News. So check out TucsonCrimeFree.com. We'll get to Beyond Unacceptable. TPOA reacts to dropped assault charge against protester. Chris Nanos's IT system may have been hacked. So it's funny, the Pima County elections one that's in that dude's garage up in the foothills, he's the only guy who hasn't been hacked yet, it seems like, around here. Thank God, with everything going on in the world, the Secretary of State Blinken came to Tucson to bullcrap you about an opioid crisis, which I thought was cute. We got University of Michigan grad ceremony ruined after anti-Israel protesters stormed the commencement stage. We got that. Let's see.
Kathleen wants me to do Mondays with Mark Lamb. He was great last week. Mondays with Mark. I like that. What else do we got here today? Pro-Hamas students trained by left-wing groups prior to college protests. That's from the Wall Street Journal. Alan West on Town Hall, don't obstruct the leftist implosion. Tucson report reduces response times to homeless camp reports. We'll talk about that. Deadly shooting near the Lost Barrio shopping district worries businesses and bikers nearby. Near a popular hiking trail, hopefully, exercise trail by the Lost Barrio. Fentanyl lightning burns down the Tucson Greyhound Park. Moms rally in Tucson, remembering those lost to fentanyl. Carrie Lake's attorney tries to persuade court to redo the 22 election. The editorial board of the Arizona Daily Independent, which is one person, Loretta Honeycutt, God bless her, did a thing that Carrie Lake should be debating Mark Lamb. What else do we got here? Biden poses with leftist actor Mark Hamill for embarrassing Star Wars Day. I like the Babylon Bee on that one. Mark Hamill joins Imperial Empire during press conference, says Emperor doing great job. I thought that was pretty good.
And as a good stormtrooper, he missed. So
thank you. Let's go visit some great sponsors. Brother Joe's on the line. He's going to call about the victory of the wonderful Seize the Gray on Kentucky Derby Day. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 of the Voice. If there was going to be an all-time song in relation to 15 years of Wakey, it's got to be the Beatles' Taxman. For my boy, this one goes out to my boy Rex in District 1. I won't say his last name, but he knows who he is.
No serapes on Cinco de Mayo, Chris. That's cultural appropriation.
All right. We're playing John and Jamie Davenport's playlist today. Little Tim McGraw bringing us in. Let's go right to the My Racehorse Marana Complex. Brother Joe, what's up, my friend?
Good morning.
Great Saturday. Tell us about Seize the Gray and a wonderful Saturday at 11:46 we had on Saturday.
You know, it's just surreal, you know, to be in a major race on Kentucky Derby Day on the undercard for $600,000 and course partners that invested in the horse and coach Dwayne Lucas, you know, it's somewhat surreal. And then to see the horse actually win in such an exciting tactical way, I mean, you know, it brought everybody off their chair. And it's just, you know, I was telling Matt before the call, you know, maybe like last March, last February, you know, he was just learning what a saddle was and what a rider was, and, you know, and you see the metamorphosis on his skill and on his development, and, you know, just brought in a lot of different emotions as he crossed the wire with thank God, a lot of confidence and feeling good.
So talk about, so Dwayne Lucas, for people who aren't into horse racing, he's 88 years old. And he's considered one of the greatest trainers ever in racing history. I'm not overselling that, right?
As they call him a living legend. You know, our father and grandparents used to talk about Dwayne Lucas remember those old picnic benches we had in the backyard in Williston Park?
I do.
They used to talk about Dwayne Lucas at a barbecue. I mean, you know, maybe on dessert we had a blueberry pie. I could just see it now, sitting in those wooden chairs and by that red table.
And a flying saucer from Carvel.
Yeah, and Dwayne Lucas was just so dominant in racing and so many things that he did to advance the sport of racing.
In those years, he was just in his 40s. You know, I watched his post-race, a couple of his posts. He sent me another one yesterday where he talked about how, you know, the horse was a alternate for the Kentucky Derby, and then he said he didn't like that whole situation because you're basically counting on the misfortune of other trainers and horses to get into the race, and so he decided to move him over to the Pat Day Mile, and it was so fun because there was some bumping and grinding in that race, and he stayed steady, but once he had the opening, Mr. Torres was the jockey, right? Jamie Torres?
Yes, Jamie Torres.
He punched him into gear right at the top of the stretch, and like I said, the three of us in my house were, if you were my neighbors, I had the windows open, you'd hear three people yelling like a bunch of maniacs at 11:48 yesterday on Saturday.
And just a few days before the race, the coach had chewed out Jamie for not understanding. But Jamie got it. I mean, the team got it because, you know, once you go around that final turn, you know, into the stretch at the quarter pole, it's a free for all, and there's a lot of bumping and blocking, and the key point is that the horse seized the gray, stayed calm. When Jamie pointed to the inside, you either go to the outside or the inside. He pointed to the inside. He took the seam. He wasn't afraid of the other horses. And thankfully, he had the ability and the wherewithal in his head to just keep going. And, you know, he had plenty of gas in the tank. And the horse that he passed was Vlahos, which blew out the track at Santa Anita. And then he sold for his first race. He blew out the track at Santa Anita. He sold for millions. They rushed him into this race. The other one, Nash, was very well bred, high speed scores. So, and then Top Connor, which was the favorite, Chad Brown's horse, was $1 million yearling sale. And he stood the test to win a grade two.
So if all of you are thinking Joe has like a $300,000 stake in the horse, it's not the way this plays. It's the idea that this horse has over 600 owners. This is called MyRacehorse.com. And Joe has various fractional ownerships in these horses. And this is the one that has probably ran the biggest, hardest races. And what's great about Lucas is when he's in his interviews, he just loves talking about this fraction. He's really talking about the benefit of getting the average Joe and Jane into racing like this. And he loves working for 600 plus owners.
Well, I think we talked about it last Monday, right? It's being a futures trader. I always like betting on Mother Nature and then my love of horses. But the key is they gave you an entree. I mean, the expenses are, you know, you're prepaying the expenses. You have the interest in the horse. Now, any horse, I've been in a lot of partnerships where, you know, the key is you're taking a shot. The horse has to win a couple of million plus and then go to breeding. And then you can really kind of say, wow, I hit something. But otherwise, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of capital. Take Mike Rispoli, who had Fierceness in the Kentucky Derby. Mike's a billionaire, of course, but he's got $50 million tied up into horses. That's what he bought them for. That's not what he's paying out every month, you know. So it's an opportunity for the average man or woman that loves horses, to be around them because you can visit the horse and the trainer and, you know, you have a front row seat. It's a social thing. And
well, nothing crazier than 600 of the owners showed up at the Derby.
That's what makes it fun. That's what makes it fun. And then if your horse is bought or sold or if there's breeding rights, you know, you're right in the thick of things. So the key is to have fun, and it's an alternative investment, but the key is to have fun and the love of racing. And here we're talking about, you know, you put that up on your wall. You're a winner of the Pat Day Mile with Dwayne Lucas.
And, a share for a horse is like $100 if you want to buy into a horse. So it's not like, you know,
well,
a lot of people can get into it.
It's like anything. It's what you can afford and what your payout is. If you buy one share, that's what your payout will be. You know, if you buy 100 shares, your payout's a lot bigger. If you buy 200 shares, you know, because you're getting the purse.
Sure.
And hopefully you're getting, you know, but it's, on the other hand, it's really a great way to have horse ownership and to take a shot at it. And now we're talking about the Preakness, talking about 2 weeks, the second crown of the Triple Crown of Seize the Gray going. So Coach Lucas is pointing there. The horse was nominated. He qualified for the Preakness. Preakness, again, it's the second crown of the Triple Crown. It's a $2 million race. And the big, always said, going against, if that happens, if the horse is happy and healthy, God willing, and he seems to be, we'd be going up against the great Bob Baffert, the White Wizard from Nogales, and Muth. And how exciting that is.
Going from a mile race to a mile, and is it a 16th or an 8th, the Preakness?
Mile and 3/16.
3/16. See, I'm getting all my fractions messed up today. So
Seize the Gray has won 1 1/8 or 2/16. So we'd be asking him to go an extra 16th.
He had it in the tank.
I think he didn't seem tired.
So, well, congratulations to Team Seize the Gray. You guys had a hell of a Saturday. And like I said, if he goes to the Preakness, let's go. If the horse is ready to go and he's healthy, let's rock it out.
Pet Day Mile is a big deal, Chris, because as a grade two, now to say you're a grade two black type winner, your breeding stock jumps because you have that in your resume. He already had black type place in Saratoga.
Gotcha. All right, we're running out of time. Well, congratulations to the team, and let us know if we get to a Preakness, which is only a week from Saturday.
Back to work, as they say. Have a blessed day.
All right, my friend. Take care. Brother Joe, DeFilippo's coming up next. She had a race weekend of herself. We'll get to that. And Pima County's coming at least two different ways to increase your property taxes. I just saw another one that's coming up.